If you're just joining us, welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are talking with Village contributor Renarda Williams, who has attended the original Million Man March way back in 1995. Can you believe that was 20 years ago? But then there was 2005, and most recently the one this last weekend, the 2015 March, Justice or Else. Do you have a favorite?
First one.
And what was it about the first one?
She gonna make a brother cry. It's just seeing 2 million brothers there, peaceful, no violence, nothing, helping each other. Young men helping the elderly brothers giving wisdom, brothers hugging, crying, praying. They had brothers who were Bloods, Crips. They put
the unity.
The unity. That was the most. And then my best friend from high school yelled my name, and I turned around. Then I went on, and if I would have saw him.
Are you kidding? Hundreds of thousands of people.
Me. It was just that unity and the fact that we pledged to do things to make a difference.
So let me ask you, the pledge, and I do remember in 1995, there was a pledge to go back home and do better, that our men would really step up to the plate and work in our communities. And there was some of that.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
You mean as for
between pledges? 95 and 2015.
Oh, there were brothers that were out there. And you're speaking to one of them. Before I attended the march, I was doing things. I added more. You had brothers in St. Louis and Columbia, South Carolina, that were building houses for people who couldn't afford them. You had brothers in New York that had an organization called Brothers on Point. Then you also had a brother in Detroit. I think his name was Malik Sabaz. He was closing down crack houses. Then you had more people vote. You had more brothers voting, more people, more brothers.
So there were some really solid positives to result from the 95 March. Things just got out of hand between 95 and 2015. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Not enough of us were involved. Is that right?
Involved. And we all took a pledge not to call women bees.
Was that in 95 or in 2015? Okay.
And what was so emotional is when he said, "Say I, state your name." And we would pledge, "I will pledge not to call or disrespect my sister." Boom, boom, boom. And it was something that we thought was going to passed down. But the main thing, a lot of people don't focus on this. The first one was more on us atoning.
I see.
To spiritually get ourselves together and then follow up on all the things I just mentioned to you. Because there were people criticizing me, criticizing us. I said, "Well, you're not doing a lot of reading." I wrote an article in the Monroe Free Press, a black newspaper I was writing for at the time. I listened to a ton of things. But what happened to all the money? Okay, what happened to all the money they had to pay for that space?
Sure.
So a lot of it went there. A lot of it went to LOCs.
But beyond that.
Yeah, beyond that.
The programs that were initiated.
Yes.
The fires that were lit internally in terms of bringing brothers and sisters together to recommit to the community.
Yes, and a lot of us did. And there were some who didn't. But most of us did. But you just, there was nothing, no major news about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
No major news this time, necessarily. But in 95, like you said, there was an awful lot of coverage. So you had a chance to visit with three brothers from North Carolina. Now, are they brothers or they're biological brothers?
They're just brothers.
In the brotherhood, right? Okay. We want to make that distinction. And we want to hear from them sharing their thoughts, because I think they were moved by their attendance. You know, it's one of those things when you have an opportunity to attend an event where there are hundreds of thousands of people of like mind. You know, I remember attending the first inauguration of President Obama, and it was just so moving, so powerful. So I can imagine, I think I still get choked up about it. I can imagine what that felt like when so many of you were there. So we want to hear that interview from them. We'll take a break and come right back, so stay with us.
They're going to like that.
They're going to like that. All right, you heard it from Bernardo himself. Stay right where you are. Back in a moment.
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're gonna plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. Bernardo Williams still talking about the 2015 Million Man March, and we are so glad to hear about it because a lot of us missed coverage. There was not a lot of coverage. You said C-SPAN.
C-SPAN.
As usual, went wall to wall with it, with its coverage. Well, you are our eyes and ears, and so we appreciate it. Let's talk about a couple of gentlemen you met at the march.
Yeah, I was just trying to find people. And one of the gentlemen that rode with me to the march, he said, "Man, I want you, here's some brothers over here, man. I'd like for you to meet," because he's a Mason. Mm-hmm. I think they were Masons.
Okay.
And he said, "How about this?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." So afterwards, I said, "Brothers, would you like to tell me about what you think about the Million Man March, and then
here's what,
they stated.
Okay. And I'm glad to be back here to this beautiful Million Man March. I was here the first time in 1995 with Brother Darrell Prince, and I'm so happy to be here with my brothers right here. And I think what I'm learning today, first time I came, this thing was over my head.
We got a lot to say.
Because I saw brotherhood from the standpoint of people helping one another, but
we are tired of
we reaching and lifting a brother up when he's down.
We're tired
but
of
today,
being told what to do.
I'm getting information about us as black people.
Yes, sir.
When I was listening to my brother right now talking about we
the Native
having
American children
blood as Native Americans. That's us.
Yes.
Of you,
yes.
We're together.
In the world.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, this is a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
I feel that being a part of something like this right here, you almost know if you want to cry or jump up and shout. But knowledge is power.
It is.
And I just felt really beautiful about
us
being right here and right behind me on that screen listening to the Native Americans talking about their story. Now, I know this won't get bleeped out because now, I don't know how much of that's going to be let out on CNN,
right.
But I'm here to tell you that brother filled his heart out
by
being a Native American.
My brother,
and then connected
the
us to black people.
Representative of the Nation of Islam,
but
Abel Muhammad.
I love this brother here too because he brought out the factors about we as black people should never shun the Native American because that's our bloodline, that's our lineage. And I'm just learning, brother. I'm learning. And seeing your smile, man, and this brother here and Brother Prince, hey, I'm just excited.
I was here for the first 10th anniversary and now.
What? All three?
Covered all three, and I was here atoning and doing all that at the same time.
Man.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I'm just glad that you are here to get the true stories. And I'm glad my brother brought you up here to get the true stories of our story here at this Million Man. But this time, the ladies are here. And because see, that also brings strength here. And looking at this,
as we are,
this is family.
Today is not a day where we're being
and I wouldn't be nowhere else.
When
Darrell Prince get me on that bus, I wouldn't be nowhere else.
What's your name, brother? Where are you from,
brother? My name is Brother Ben Pickett. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the Twin City, Detroit folk.
He doesn't like to say anything.
Oh man, I'm just glad to be here. Man, just appreciate the fellowship. It's just great.
And your name, sir?
My name,
where you from?
Brother Darrell Prince, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
My name is Nick Johnson. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but I live
in... I'm from Alexandria.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. It's nice to meet you, man.
You too, brother. So
I live in Winston-Salem, though, now.
Okay.
And this is my first time being out here.
Really?
But I believe that... Everything happens for a reason, you know, and I believe that just like you were brought into my life for a reason, that this information that you are going to put out on your radio station and in your magazine will touch the ear of a brother or a sister who will take whatever is said and they will go and research it, because you will hear people say that you don't have to defend the truth,
right?
You let the truth go and it defends itself, you know. When you sit up here and you watch all of these people and you watch all of these shades of colors,
back
to
Chicago,
that
we go to
it all started
back
in
now.
Africa.
Now we talking about
every
black
shade
lives,
started
black
in Africa.
Matter, but
that's
not
right.
Just those.
The actual white skin is only as recent as 8,000 years old.
Yeah.
Before then, it was black people in the Caucasus Mountains. It was black people in
we
Europe before all of that.
Okay.
There was the Africans, the Native Americans, before they were conquered by the Spaniards and the Portuguese, were as dark as you and I.
Right.
You know,
because we know
and
that we're not
there
immigrants.
Are stories,
we
there are historical documentation of the Native Americans trading gold tipped spears with the African
Earth,
sailors. African sailors, which means we originated sailing. We originated ships. We did all of this travel. We shouldn't have to ask for any of these things. If Malcolm X said, if we learn how to speak the language, then we can talk to our enemy. This is the beginning of that. that. The or else is the beginning of learning to speak the enemy's language. When we are ready to take that next step, it's going to happen.
Okay. It's gonna happen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
All right. Right.
You really hear the camaraderie that was shared there. And several of the people with whom you spoke had attended in the past. So it's almost like if you go one time, you're going back for the next one. You have no choice.
I have no choice.
Really?
Yeah, because the next 20 years, I think I'll be 64. And then after that, who knows, 74, I may have my cane out there, my walker, stating, trash.
But you're going nevertheless.
Yes.
We appreciate you stopping by to tell us what we missed and what was learned and shared at the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March.
Thank you, sister.
And Lord willing, we'll talk to you when you're 74.
Yes.
At the march. We should be so blessed. Thank you, everybody. We will be right back. We're going to continue our focus on breast cancer awareness. And you know we have to talk about the Democratic debate. Who won? Stay with us.
You know, honey, when I was a little girl, it was such a treat to spend the night in my backyard. Mm. I remember Mom and Dad would make a big tent out of bed sheets.
Cool.
Those campouts with them were such an adventure.
Yeah, I bet.
Our kids need to experience a night in the backyard so they can have memories like that, too.
You are so right. But let's take them to one of our state parks so we can spend the night in Arkansas's big backyard.
Oh, they'll love that.
Well, you always make the plans. So what should we do? Should we go camping or stay in a park cabin or one of the mountain lodges?
Let's decide right now.
Okay.
ArkansasStateParks.com, the state parks website. Wow, look at all our choices.
Yeah, they even have tents or yurts we could rent.
Or an RV.
An RV sounds pretty comfortable to me.
Let's make our plans and surprise the kids. Now they'll have backyard memories too.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
So it is October, and we are moving through the month pretty quickly. So many of us are focused on raising breast cancer awareness, and joining us tonight is Sabrina Gully, who is a survivor, and I must tell you, she is also my first cousin. Good evening, Sabrina. How are you?
Good evening, Vicki. I am doing wonderful.
It's so good of you to join us to share with us what you have faced in the last 5 to 10 years. Take us back to that day when you realized that something was wrong. As I recall, you were on a church trip, a church conference.
That is correct. I was on a church outing. I was down in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm from Illinois. And one morning I woke up, I did my devotion and everything. I went in the bathroom to start getting dressed. And when I was getting dressed and I looked in the mirror, I saw something abnormal on my chest. So I started feeling around and I felt a lump. And then I really started praying. And, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of like, okay, no problem. I have very dense breasts, and, you know, you might have a little lumps here and there. So I had a mammogram already planned because I was turning 40 that year in a couple of months. So I said, okay, God's will, I can hold out until then, and I'll go get the mammogram, and they'll tell me everything is fine. So I finished the conference, came back home, and ended up going to the doctor a couple of months later, and they did the mammogram. And unfortunately, it was undetected in the mammogram because it was close to my breastplate. So they couldn't see it, so they decided to go ahead and do a biopsy on it. And it did come back as a cancerous, and did tell me I had stage one of triple negative breast cancer.
And triple negative is really an aggressive form of cancer.
Yes, it is. I really didn't know that at that time when they told me that. Just the shock of hearing you have breast cancer was shock enough. But then when they went into how aggressive triple negative is, that's when I got really nervous and, weighing my options of what my next step was going to be.
Now, weighing your options, as I recall, you were so smart about assembling a team of the very best doctors. Tell everyone how you methodically worked to get the best care you could.
Oh, well, first of all, you know, I went back to my original doctor, and he suggested a surgeon for me to go to. And I went to go visit the surgeon, and I just didn't feel right about it. You know, I wanted a second opinion. And I stressed
which
everybody
was smart.
Anytime you're, excuse me?
Which was smart, a second opinion.
Oh, most definitely, because I did go get a second opinion, and I went on the internet. You know, you can Google anything nowadays. So I went on the internet and I just started researching triple negative breast cancer and breast cancer as a whole. And a lot of stuff started popping up. And unbeknownst to me, I had an American Cancer Center close to my home over in Chicago. And I got online that night and they talked me through it and they set me up with a second appointment. The very next week to go into the Cancer Center of America. And I went into that place, and it was totally amazing how they took me through the test, how they sat down with me, how they had a team already assembled for me from a surgeon to an oncologist to a radiologist to a even a nutritionist as to, you know, what the options I had in order to beat this breast cancer.
And you recall feeling a sense of peace, I think you said. You felt comfortable with the strategy they suggested.
Oh, very comfortable. And it's so odd because you go to a hospital. I know everybody's sick in the hospital, but everybody doesn't have cancer. When I went to the Cancer Treatments of America, everybody there had cancer, so it wasn't taboo, you know, and everybody, you know, told their story of what they went through, and a lot of the attendants and nurses and everything has had breast cancer either touch their lives or a member of their family, so they were very sympathetic to what me and my family was going to, and very supportive, so yes, they did
very
put my
supportive.
Mind at ease, and yes.
So how has your life changed since that diagnosis, and what is your advice for other women who may have received just recently this type of news?
I can tell you that I realize that there's no second chance in life. This is your only life. And live each day to the fullest. And also, as women, we tend to take care of everybody else around us. You know, we take care of our kids, we take care of our spouses, we take care of our friends, our parents. And sometimes we like to put ourselves on the back burner. And at that point in my life, you know, my kids were in high school doing a lot of sports, supporting my husband and his career. And I realized, Sabrina, you have to stop. You have to start letting somebody take care of you. Mm-hmm. And wow. I just realized that, you know, in order for me to be able to be there for my family and friends, I have to be able to take care of myself, so I will be there.
Well, I'll tell you
and
one
so
thing.
So many women, we choose.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I said so many women think that we're doing the right thing by putting everybody first in our lives, but if we're not there to take care of them, we're not there. So we need to take time out for ourselves and make sure we're healthy and we're good to go.
Well, I certainly admired the way you took charge of your health several years ago and have just, I mean, you've always been courageous, all right, everybody? Sabrina has always been courageous since we were little kids. And you're even more so now. No, really. I mean, you were the one who could get up the tree and not hurt yourself. And you've just always been strong like that. So I congratulate you on what you have done since then. You're in Montana tonight working?
Yes,
right.
I am.
Uh-huh. You were in California a couple days ago working, and I don't know where you're going next. Siberia, I suppose. But thank you so much for stopping by to talk with us and to encourage the rest of us to take good care of ourselves if we're not already doing so.
Well, thank you very much for having me. This has truly been a blessing to share my story and to help anybody else out that's going through this or if this has touched their lives in any way.
All right, cuz. Appreciate you. I ain't got all emotional. I can't even talk. See, this is why you should not have your family on the show, because you'll start emoting. All right. Talk to you later. I'll text you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Coming up, we're going to talk about triple negative breast cancer with the doctor so she can tell you a little bit more and explain it. That and the debate when we return. Did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where's my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Celebration. So we are just a little more than a year from electing the next president of the United States of America. I know it's hard to believe that President Obama's term will end, but all good things must come to an end. Who will be the next occupant of the White House? Joining us now is our Village contributor and political consultant, Mundell Robinson. Mundell, what did you think of the debate Tuesday night, the Democratic debate?
Oh, my.
Well, let's start by saying that we are blessed to be in America. And for the first time this election season, we actually got to see a real political debate, not the scoundrel or scandalous thing that's been going on the Republican side. I really thought we had a great debate. People got to contrast themselves with other candidates, and even against the will of the Democratic Party itself, it seemed like Bernie Sanders came prepared and he won, according to all of the focus groups. However, the major news outlets are saying something different. They all named Clinton the winner. But like I said, every focus group with the regular Americans around the country had Bernie Sanders winning large.
You know, Bernie Sanders is likable. I don't know if it's his transparency. He seems rather transparent. But I watched the debate, and I walked away thinking, you know what? He's interesting. It's enough for me to pay attention to him. He was not on my radar before the debate, but I also thought that Hillary Clinton did a good job. I thought she seemed more transparent, and she seemed less stilted. So Americans may have a big choice ahead of them, Democrats at least, and even the former governor of Maryland. I thought he had a good night. What'd you think?
Yeah, I honestly believe that, you know, we're talking about professional politicians here. Hillary Clinton's been in it for 4 or 5 decades, and the same is true of Bernie Sanders and O'Malley, although he's not been in that long. He's a seasoned politician as well, and it shows, you know, these three are probably the closest in the polls, whereas we know Webb and the ex-governor from Iowa really aren't in the campaign to win. We know that they're just there to maybe bring their views to the point that the party needs to pay attention to them. But I think they're outdated, especially some of the views that Webb. I think Webb may even been on the wrong stage.
It was interesting.
Maybe space in the Republican Party.
He made some really odd comments, I thought. But
he did. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and as it pertains to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, I think the biggest difference between the freedom that you see in Bernie Sanders' speech comes from him, the type of politician that he is. He's never been a party politician such as that he required the support of Wall Street to get elected. He's always been a whistleblower, so to say. He was the one vote that voted against the Iraq war when it was popular, mm-hmm. when everybody had a flag on the back of their car. After 9/11, he said we are doing something that is incorrect. So this is not nothing new to him. He's not doing it to get elected. It's just the way he runs. I don't know if America's ready for someone to call himself a socialist, even though he's talking about democracy socialist, and he did a great job at explaining it. It's enough that, you know, Republicans can scare the daylights out of folk from running from voting for him. But I also see in him and his campaign the momentum that I witnessed with President Obama in 2008.
It definitely has some momentum, and I tell you what else I noticed. He has worked on his response to Black Lives Matter, and so has the former governor from Maryland. What did you think of their answers on that debate stage?
Bernie Sanders did more than work on his answers. He's actually, if you go to his website, he's actually had it as part of his platform now. So he's actually put Black Lives Matter as part of it's one of the pillars in his platform. So I respect the candidate who recognized their shortcoming as it pertains to a certain population and then are able to address it. As it pertains to Governor Malley, he sounds great on stage, but what actually happened in Maryland is something different. You know, when he was governor of Maryland, he had some policies there, like Anderson Cooper brought forth, that really did cripple the Black community and did mm-hmm. not do mm-hmm. us any good. So mm-hmm. I'm one that likes policies, and like I said, Bernie Sanders has shown a willingness to not only listen, but also change his platform and make space for Black folk issues.
He's certainly getting a lot of attention. Okay, so let's shift gears. Did you see where Donald Trump is now asking for Secret Service protection?
I wouldn't mind if Secret Service protected Donald Trump all the way to the moon. Donald Trump is For the country, Donald Trump is extremely horrible. I'll tell you why. He makes it easy for Democrats to pay attention to more important issues because that party is being pulled so far outside of the mainstream with candidates like Carson and Donald Trump that the Democrats don't have to be as sharp as they would if we had two viable partners in this country. The Republicans are on the heels of not winning a national election in the past. You know, three out of the four elections, last four national elections, Republicans lost. And that's not good for the entire country at whole. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if we're talking about rebuilding America's brand internationally, we shouldn't have Donald Trump making mockery of the election process, especially the one that elects our president, which is touted as the leader of the entire free world.
That is a very good
point. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump.
No. You're kidding.
No,
I hadn't gathered.
No. Donald is... the mockery that... He for instance, the way he talked about women is enough.
It's an outrage.
It should be criminal. It should be criminal, but let alone to think that this person could be the nominee for one of the major parties, one of the two major parties in this country, when that party actually had three or four governors already drop out of the race because, you know, he's sucking up all of the air. And I'm not saying I like Bobby Jindal's or Rick Perry's policies, but I do think that these guys are executive and serious politicians that have won elections, whereas Donald Trump is a brand master, and that's what he's doing right now, trying to get another show problem, another network, since he got dropped.
But, you know, he and Ben Carson are doing well with Republican voters. And Ben Carson said today, if Jews had guns, there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. I mean,
Ben
some
Carson
of the things he says
things
are outrageous.
Yes, I agree. Ben Carson also says that, teachers should have guns in kindergarten classrooms, and that single black mothers are running society, and they create criminals, even though he is the product of a single black mother.
Absolutely.
So he's a walking oxymoron himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can tell that you are very concerned about the entire election process because of what's happening in the Republican Party. You believe it's diluting the entire discourse.
Right, that is absolutely what's going on. But it's also what we're seeing right now is nothing new. This is the unraveling of a horrible matrimony anyway. So what I'm talking about is when Nixon did his Southern strategy, he had big business, you know, the leaders of big businesses up north merged with segregationists in the South. And what you see right now going on in that party is these two factions going their separate ways. They're saying, we don't have the same views, and now it's coming to light, and this party is coming apart. It took a couple of years for Nixon to put it together. You know, he said, we're no longer going to say, you can't say the N-word anymore. It's not popular. So what he did was he had segregationists in the South start saying people of color or minorities. So the issue went away from black issues to entire minorities. This was a plan dreamed up in the Moynihan report, and now you just see it unraveling. People are saying, okay, the business interests are saying, listen guys, if we're to be serious, then we need to bring this in. But the extremists are saying we need not compromise.
Well, there's nothing like infighting to leave you defeated on the mat. So let that house divided do what it does. Mondale Robinson joining us live tonight. Thank you so much for joining us in the Village as always.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. We'll be right back.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
We continue with our coverage of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Joining us, as we do every Thursday, is our Village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, good evening.
Good evening, Vicki.
So we know that as African-American women, we tend to have more aggressive forms of breast cancer. This triple negative is one of those. And what is the explanation for it?
Well, I think, first of all, let me just explain to the audience just a little bit, without going into great detail, what triple negative cancer is. And it's just, it's a way for the oncologist to really tell what type of breast cancer cells there are and how they're going to treat it. And so triple negative is a very common type, and it means that you either... you're looking for receptors that have different types of hormones without going into great detail, like estrogen and progesterone, as well as something that we call HER2. So knowing whether or not you're triple negative will affect the treatment.
So all of that is post-diagnosis, after you've unfortunately realized the battle that's ahead, and you've teamed up with the medical professionals to help you get through it.
That's correct. It is. Unless for some reason you know that you have a family history of breast cancer and you have tried or gotten it diagnosed early. Most of the time it is a post-diagnosis type thing. The people who are at risk for it do tend to be more African Americans and Hispanic, and a lot of times it might be due to a gene mutation.
Okay. You know, one of the big health stories, and I suppose we can consider it a health story along with a number of other categories, lifestyle, celebrity, is Lamar Odom, who is fighting for his life tonight.
How sad. How sad is that news?
It is. It's heartbreaking.
Yes, he is. And it's very heartbreaking, Vicki. And I think what we've got to keep in mind is that when you are taking any type of supplementation, particularly those over the counter, they're usually not FDA approved. Now, what does that mean? That means that these manufacturers have the ability to make supplements, and we really don't know that whatever the medication is, if it's consistent, if the dose is consistent in one pill to the next. So anytime you take over-the-counter supplements or herbs, you should probably contact your physician and discuss whether or not that's going to be something beneficial to you, in particular if you are taking other medications.
And the reports indicate that the former NBA star was taking some type of herbal supplement.
Those are the reports. And interestingly enough, I was looking at a journal this morning from the American Medical Association, what we call the morning round, and they were talking about a report where at least 23,000 people go to the emergency room every year for overdoses of dietary supplements. Now, those are those that just present to the ER. We don't have any idea of how many people lose their lives because dietary supplements.
Or have some type of negative reaction and never go to the hospital. They are able to recover at home.
That's correct. Absolutely. And this certainly is not to frighten anyone, but it's to make them more aware of, over-the-counter supplements.
That is a very good point because, like you mentioned, dietary supplements. When we are trying to lose a couple of pounds really quickly, we might do so. Or if you're trying to go to sleep at night, or anything that you think might help you short of going to the doctor, recognize that it may not be regulated.
That's correct, Vicki. Absolutely.
All right, Dr. Dye, a lot for us to keep in mind as we continue through the month of October, encouraging our family and friends to take good care of themselves in terms of breast awareness. And again, shining the spotlight on these dietary supplements, we're sending our prayers to Lamar Odom. Thank you for joining us.
As always, it's a joy, Vicki.
Back in a moment. We'll be right back. one. Well,
hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
So welcome back again, and this is our final note for tonight. We appreciate you joining us. We really want to thank Renarda Williams, our contributor, who attended the 2015 Million Man March, as we said at the top of tonight's show. He was there in 1995, he was there in 2005, 2015, and he plans to be there until he's too old to go. And I'm not so sure that's going to ever happen for Renarda, because he is one of those energetic people who believes in Black America, in our community. He pointed out that in the original march, the brothers who were gathered planned to go back home and commit themselves to building stronger communities. That's a theme that was popular in 1995, 2005, and 2015. And it's one that so many of us should embrace, because if we all work together, we can build stronger communities, which builds a stronger Black America and ultimately a stronger America. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Village Celebration.